Good morning. Happy New Year. And I appreciate you being here with us this morning. I want to take just a minute this morning to recognize Ro McAdams. So, Ro, if you would please stand. Ro's been the chairman of the Elder Board, and this is his last Sunday. He led this morning with a group of elders. He will be rotating off, and so I just wanted you to know who he was, and I want you to thank him for all he's done and behind the scenes, serving the Lord faithfully and leading Bible Fellowship Church family. So thank you, Ro and Marilyn. It's been a joy to be with Ro and watch him lead, and I just want to say thank you to him for all that he's done. A couple things that I'd like for you to be praying about this week as we enter in to this week. First off, please keep Ruth Long in your prayers. Ruth is not with us this morning. She's in the hospital. She has bronchitis, so I know that she'd appreciate your prayers. Also, Lamar Drake. Lamar, from what we've been told, has had a heart attack on Friday. So they went to see about possibly putting a stent in. They were not able to because one of his stents was closed. So Lamar has thyroid cancer and lung cancer. And I know that he is at Highlands Regional right now. I know he'd appreciate your prayers as well. Also, Mae Miller, one of our heroes, what wonderful person. I remember when I first came back to Sebring, Mae was actually in surgery, open heart surgery, and they were working on her, and I guess her heart started to bleed. And so the doctors basically stood there and said, there's nothing really we can do for her at this point. And so they decided, well, one doctor suggested, let's put a stitch through her heart and see if that will hold so we could get some of the bleeding to stop. So they said, oh, well, it's worth a chance. Well, it worked. That was 10 years ago now. And but she has cancer, and she's counting her days. But a wonderful, wonderful person, too busy to find, even though she's on hospice and doing her different places. She just runs everywhere. And so please keep Mae in your prayers as she finishes her time left on this earth with a road called cancer. That God would give her strength to finish well, and thankful to the Lord for her life and what she means to so many. Also, Ruth Kay passed away, so please keep their family in our prayers. She was here often on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. She's left behind her daughter Alice and her son-in-law Jim Varga. They're here this morning with us, Vargo, and then also her son Alfred. Has been coming here and back and forth to church. So I know that they would appreciate your prayers at this time in their lives. Also, I've been made known that please keep John and Susie Del Grosso in your prayers. Susie's mom is in the hospital running different tests. So I know that they would appreciate your prayers at this time of the year as well. And we'll keep you updated. And I do hope that this isn't just time that we talk about, just give you a request. I really do ask you to go home and pray for these people. They need you, and I know you all got different things that are involved in your lives, and so we try not to give you too many things on a Sunday morning, but I wanted to share those things with you this morning as we finish out 2014. It's kind of crazy to think 2014 is gone. It's over, and so I want to share a little bit with you this morning. I've been thinking about our last service that we have together in 2014. 2015, we're going to begin a study in the life of Samson. So if you're interested in knowing where we're going, that's one of where the next beginning weeks in January will be. It will be the life of Samson. But I also know as we finish up 2014, there's some things that most of us have a natural tendency to do. We have a natural tendency to start evaluating how did 2014 go. Some of you will go and review your financial markets, and that's I'm not saying that's wrong. I think that's actually wise. Some of you go back and look at and say, how did I do in my own personal budget 2014? Not a bad thing either. You don't want to be bankrupt at the end of 2015. I think that's important as well. Some of you will then start evaluating what was my life worth in 2014? What did I actually accomplish in 2014? And I don't think that's wrong either. I guess probably what all of you will end up doing as you lead into this New Year's resolution, which all of you, well, some of you will make them, majority of us won't keep them. I'm not sure why we do it every year, but if you want to try it one more year, maybe 2015 will be the year for you to hold true to your New Year's resolutions, go for it. I will not be making any New Year's resolutions, I don't think, at this point, unless my wife tells me I need to make one, then I'll make it. I'm just teasing. But I want you to actually do a little bit of thinking with me this morning as you go into 2015. I think it's really, really important for us to take a spiritual inventory of our own lives. But what I don't want you to do is, this isn't about, oh, I'm better than so-and-so. We have a tendency to say, well, I did more than this person, I did more than that person, well, you know, this was kind of thing. All of you are looking for something to say is significant in your life that you can hang your hat on it and say, Lord, the Lord used me in this area of my life, or I accomplished this. All of you are looking for something that will give you value. All of you are saying, you know what, 2014 was successful because of, and then you list off the things. Most likely it's probably going to be accomplishments, or you're this, this, and this. And none of us normally stop and say, Lord, what did you really want for me in 2014? Jesus, what is success in my life in 2014 in your eyes? And so this morning, I just wanted to stop and go back to a passage of Scripture. We've done it before, but I want to go back to the book of 1 Peter. And I want us to actually say, okay, Lord, in 2014, I was successful because of this. Now, what we're going to talk about, I want to preface with this. The Lord does not expect perfection out of your life. You're going to come to a word that we're going to read here in 1 Peter chapter 1. You're going to look at that word and say, you know what? There's no way that's possible in my life. And that is true. Totality of this word is not possible in your life until you take your last breath and it's over. And if you know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, you'll never struggle with this ever again in your life. And so as you get to that passage of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to share some things with you. We're going to start reading in verse 13 is where we're going to start. But I want to go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I just want to just talk to you. Okay, one of the things I love to do with my Bible is I'll go to a chunk of Scripture, a paragraph of Scripture, and I'll write a word or two words or just a little thought over those chunks of Scripture. So when I come to a passage of Scripture, I can look at, if I'm going to go pick it up in verse 13, I already have kind of an idea what 1 through 13 means just by some chunks of words. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean everything by my little chunks of words, okay? I understand that. But for me, I like to look at the whole chapter kind of in a context, and so this is what I've done with 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 1, you get the concept of an amazing God. And Peter's just identifying what makes their God amazing. As you read on a little bit farther, you get a chance to think about the word hope in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I don't know about you, but hope is a powerful, powerful word. Because most of us, we will face things in 2015 that we're not going to be excited about. That we didn't really give God permission to allow it to be part of our lives, but you will have hope because of our amazing God. If there is a time you said, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. If there's never been that time in your life, guess what? You don't have hope this morning. And I want to share something that really neat that happened 2 weeks ago, just as this whole concept of hope. Never happened to me, and I've been on staff at Bible Fellowship Church. Susan and I will start our 10th year in 2015. But I came to work on a Monday morning, and Randy brought me a little note over from Santa Claus. But inside of Santa Claus's note was $1,000. And Santa Claus asked And I'm sure it's a joke, so I don't want to bust all anybody's bubble in here this morning that, you know, gives all their hopes and dreams to Santa Claus. But anyway, some person in our family asked us to distribute that money to help children have a wonderful Christmas this Christmas. And so a family that might not have had hope because somebody put $1,000. And I still have the note, and I should have brought it because I should actually read it to you, but it's sitting on my desk. Because it was neat for me to see that somebody in our family, and I have no idea who it is. I can't figure out your handwriting, so if it's you, congratulations, we didn't know who it is. We have no idea who it is. But we did take that money, and we distributed it to five different families this Christmas season, just so they would have a little bit of hope this time of the year. And so it's neat to see God work behind the scenes and come into an office. And so I actually called Andy on that Monday morning because he's off on Monday. I said, hey, what do you want to do? I mean, we've never had just $1,000 laying around in the office just today. We know what it says. We put it in our benevolence account. The way it worked was we went to the elder board and asked the elder board for permission to bless these five different families. And they gave us permission, and it was just a neat opportunity to bless them. So I know that some of you are going to run into some things where you're going to be challenged with hope this year. There are going to be things that look you face to face, giants, struggles, burdens. A great word that we hear flying around a lot is dysfunction. All of those things, you're going to come face to face. I just want you to know this morning, if Jesus is your Savior, you have hope. Now here's something, the next part that I've put over this chapter one, we don't talk a lot about, we probably should talk a lot more about, but there are rewards for serving Jesus. You're just not spinning your wheels to spin your wheels' sake. You will meet, when I meet Jesus face to face, I have opportunities to receive rewards. I recognize that those rewards have nothing to do with me. Nothing happened in my strength. I'm not going to keep my rewards. I'm going to give them back to Jesus. But it's just a neat reminder to me that it's not all in vain. There will be a time that I'll take those rewards and say, hey, thank you for empowering me through the Holy Spirit to live my life differently. So you got an amazing God who provides hope and gives rewards. Peter wanted this group of believers to know that there was going to be some action out of their own personal life that would need to be required for them. That this Savior that provided hope, that this Savior that was there for them, that was this amazing God, just didn't say, hey, you know what, I'm just an amazing God, now go ahead and live your life however you want to live your life. Peter sat down and said, hey, because this God is amazing, because this God provided hope, because this God is offering rewards, there's something that needed to take place in these believers' lives in their own personal life. And in their own personal life, Peter was going to challenge them with this word, holiness. Now I realize that every single one of us sitting in this room are not completely holy. I realize that some of you might have lost your temper this week. I know it's hard to believe, but it happens to the best of us. Some of you, when you're driving down 27, you probably blew your horn because you wanted to make sure that that other person knew that you were there, just so they wouldn't hit anybody else in the future. In reality, you're really mad at them, but you use a nice, wonderful excuse to show that person that they pulled out in front of you as your way of justifying your little sin of anger. Some of us get the privilege to ride around with 15-year-olds. Yes, we do. That's why my hair is grayer now than it's ever been before. You know what's really wonderful? Listening to 15-year-olds talk about how bad everybody else drives. That's really interesting. If you'd like to go for a ride, I know a 15-year-old would love to drive you anywhere you want to go. Some of you have been involved in work situations this week that haven't been very favorable. And we could go on and on and on. There's something that I want to lay the groundwork very clearly up front, because I don't want you to walk out of here feeling like you've been totally beat up as a Christian. But I want to challenge you with this word holiness. But I also want to remind you, when we get started, there's a wonderful passage of scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I have the opportunity of forgiveness. And so this morning, as we are here, and as we talk about the word holiness, I just want to remind you that if you sit down and agree with God that what he calls sin, sin, not, dear Jesus, I'm just asking you to forgive this. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me when I became angry when my 15-year-old did this. Dear Jesus, I'm asking you for forgiveness because I am angry because I didn't get my needs met. I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get what I deserved. Dear Jesus, I'm here this morning saying, you know what? I'm struggling with contentment. Dear Jesus, I'm struggling with the dysfunction and the things that has caused destruction in my family. This isn't just your Sunday school thing where you can throw up your hands and just be that Sunday school kid. And I'm not saying that's wrong when you're a child. I'm not saying that's wrong. But as an adult, as a 43-year-old man, I need not just to be the Sunday school boy. I need to be a man and say, you know what, Jesus? I recognize that I was not holy in this area of my life this week. And I acknowledge that before you. You know what he'll do? He'll forgive me. He'll forgive you too. And so as you go to this passage of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for actions. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform to the former lust which you were in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I should be holy because Jesus is holy. I want to take you through this passage of Scripture very briefly, but I want you to look at verse 13. Start with me there. Fix your eyes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. So what am I talking about? What is Peter talking about? There's a hope that was brought to us when? When was the hope brought to me? The day that I said yes to Jesus, I've got hope. And however that happened in your life, it happens a lot of different ways in a lot of different people's lives, but however it was for you, for me, it was at the Whirlybirds thing at First Missionary Church in Bern, Indiana. It was when Paul Patton, the pilot, came and shared about heaven and hell. That was the beginning process of my life that I'm saying yes to you, Jesus. I'm putting my faith in you. I think it came to full maturity when I was about 19 years old, when I was standing at Word of Life, where my daughter's going to college, standing next to Scroon Lake, and I finally said to Jesus, I give up. My life is a wreck. It's out of control. I have my little John 3:16 sermon that I could talk to other people about, but it came full surrender for me then. I said, that's it, Jesus. Now, whatever I went to heaven, if something happened to me from when I was about 8 to 19, I think so. But it came full circle for me when I said, I surrender. I choose you, Jesus. I have no other but you, Jesus. That was the day that my life started and continued to grow to where I am today. And so this morning, if there's been that experience in your life that you said, you know what, Jesus, I believe. I surrender. I trust. However you want to word it, you can word it thousands of different ways. But the day that you said that wording, however you worded it, say, I believe, I accept, I'm asking for forgiveness, or however you want to say it, that's the day that you actually got hope in your own personal life. That's the day hope came part of you. Now, you know what's very interesting? After the whirly bird experience, I still have to make a choice to hope in Jesus. Every single day that I wake up, I want to say, Jesus, I put my hope in you. I want to stay fixed, focused, purposeful on those things. I want to be unwavering. I want to have a wholeheartedness that grace that has been brought to me is by Jesus Christ. Because I have hope in Jesus, that's what the beginning of the verse is. But what's interesting is Peter just didn't leave it with the word hope and just didn't leave it with the word of holiness. He's going to get to holiness at the end, but he's going to challenge these believers to look at their own personal life, to evaluate it and say, hey, is holiness a part of my life? Not perfection. That's not what Peter's talking about. He wants these believers to say, you know what? I am working at imitating holiness in my own life. Prepare your minds for actions. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Stand firm, therefore, verse 14, have it girding your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this is an interesting way to describe the breastplate of righteousness. I want us to read this to you. The breastplate was usually a tough, sleeveless piece of leather or heavy material with animal horns or hoof pieces sewn on, covering the soldier's full frontal torso and protecting his heart and the vital organs. Because righteousness or holiness is such a distinctive characteristic of God himself, it is not hard to understand why a Christian's chief protection against Satan and his schemes, as believers faithfully live in obedience to the communion with Jesus Christ, his own righteousness produces in them practically daily righteousness that becomes their spiritual breastplate. Lack of holiness, on the other hand, leaves them vulnerable to the great enemy of their soul. Very interesting. So as a believer, if I am not practicing holiness, am I leaving myself open to things of this world that are not holy? Also, another way, go with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. We'll look at verse 1. Colossians 3, 1, but read down. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing is not troublesome to me, but it's a safeguard for you. Why is it a safeguard for them to rejoice in the Lord? Beware of the dogs because of their evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision, for we are of the true circumcision. We worship the Spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the wrong verse. I'm in Philippians. Let me get to the right place. Sorry about that. Help if the preacher goes to the right passages of Scripture. Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on the things that are of the earth. And I think so often it's so easy for us as people to go to church, call ourselves believers, Followers of Jesus, it's so easy for us to set our desires on earthly things. And so as we look at Peter, as he challenges these believers, fix your hope completely on the grace we brought to you as a revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at verse, let me do it this way. Keep sober in spirit. Someone who's not controlled by outside circumstances, believers should be directed from within. That's Wolverton and Zuck. Steadfast, self-controlled, clarity of mind. The sober Christian is currently in charge of his priorities, not intoxicated with the various allurements of the world. I know all of us have been lured by the world this year. But most of us don't stop and end our year and evaluate, Lord, Holy Spirit, show me where I was lured by the world this year. Most of us stop and say, well, you know what? 2014 was successful because of all this. And I'm not saying all this is wrong, but I don't want us as a family to look at to our accomplishments to say, you know what? We're successful because of our accomplishments. I want us to look at as a family and say, you know what, Lord? My heart before your heart, that I focus on holiness this year. Dad, how well did I do? I know every single one of you sitting in this room love to hear words of adoration from your dad. I realize that some of you maybe never heard those words of adoration from your father, and you might not ever. But I know there's a hunger inside of you for those things. And so as you evaluate 2014, I'm not saying don't go ahead and do the earthly stuff, okay? I'm not saying don't do that. But I want us as a family to stop and say, you know what, Jesus? Is my heart before your heart closer to you this year than it was last year? Jesus, am I seeing the things of this earth the way you see them? And I realize in the Christian world we say the word heart, and that's that. I'm not talking about your pumping device that's working so you can be sitting up this morning. Okay, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about deep down inside of you. Is there a passion for you? Is there a longing in you to do what's right before your Father? And I'm not talking about your earthly father. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God the Father, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you're a son or daughter of Jesus, you might want to consider this. Prepare your minds. You might want to consider, you probably need to be sober. And I'm not talking about not drinking. You might want to sit down and say, you know what? I was lured here or here this year. You might want to stop and think about verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform any longer. To the former lust, which were yours in your ignorance. I want you to go with me to Ephesians. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2. When we didn't know Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2 is what our life used to look like. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them were two all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. But, verse 4 says this, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love for you that he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved. Verse 6. And raised up in him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that to in the ages to come, we might now have the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, that no one may boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to walk in them. So as I think about 2014, this is what I'm thinking about. I know what I was walking in ignorance. That's what my lifestyle looked like. But because I accepted the free gift of Jesus, now I recognize that I'm his workmanship. Now I recognize that he created me exactly the way I wanted him. Another word for Ephesians 2:10 is that we are his masterpiece. And what did he create me for? Why did he create me? For good works. That's why he created you too. He created you so that you and all the things that you like and all the things you don't like, it's okay with him. But he created you exactly the way he wanted you so that you could reach somebody in your park. He knew from eternity past that some of you would move here and hang out in the winter. He knew that. You know what's amazing? He allowed you to buy that property. He knew the exact property. He knew the square footage. You know what's even more amazing? He knew who your neighbors would be. And he still let you buy the property. You know why? Because he wanted your neighbors to see God's workmanship out of your life. He wanted your neighbors to scratch their head and try to figure out what in the world's wrong with that person. They're just nice. Why aren't they negative? Why don't they see the world doom and gloom like everybody else does? What's wrong with them? What's wrong with them is Jesus is part of their life. That's what's wrong with them. And these people actually believed. I know this is unbelievable to think about, but these people actually identified, saying, you know what? God had a purpose for my life. And they grabbed a hold of it. They realized that God said, God created them. And God wanted to use you with your gifts and with your talents and with your weaknesses. But we have to stop and remember that. I love working on things. I had issues with my car, so I took it to the guys to fix it. And they said, well, you're telling us all what's wrong with it. Why don't you just fix it? I said, the problem is with me, I can take it apart. It never goes back together. So it's best not let me to fix it. I wish somebody when I was a kid, and I don't know I could have sat down with somebody and watched them take a motor apart and then allow me to try to put it back together. I would have loved to try it. It wouldn't have worked. I would have had two bolts left over. I know it wouldn't, because it just wouldn't have. But that's okay. But I'm fascinated by those people that can fix those things. It just blows me away. Why did God give some people the ability to be able to take motors apart and put them back together? Because some people are going to walk. I've got a brother-in-law in Indiana, Nussbaum and Sons. This joker gets these big old combines, and he tears them apart. And then he puts them back together again. You know what's so cool? Is my brother-in-law loves Jesus. And he recognizes that God has given him this ability. And I love to listen to my brother-in-law talk about spiritual things. He looks at it totally differently than I do because he's a mechanic. He sees the different details than I don't see those things. So my brother-in-law has grasped that he's God's workmanship. It's interesting. I know I wrote it down. But for some reason, oh, here it is. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Most of you can quote this verse, but this somebody put it this way, and I thought it was really interesting. But I want to read the verse. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Okay, so if I'm going to offer my body as a living sacrifice, it's so neat that we just didn't stop at verse 1 to get this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that good and acceptable and perfect will. How can I be a living sacrifice? Do not conform to this world. How do I not conform to this world? Be transformed by the renewing of my mind. How do I renew my mind? This is how you do not renew your mind. USA Today is not going to renew your mind to be a living sacrifice. New York Times is not going to renew your mind. I read Fox News. It doesn't renew my mind. It makes me angry. As much as I love this, it doesn't renew my mind. I don't put a whole lot of energy and effort into it, but the Florida Gators are not going to renew my mind. I'm sorry to tell you that. They can discourage me, but they don't renew my mind. But all of you have certain things that you love in this world. I'm not saying it's not. The Green Bay Packers definitely don't renew my mind. Now I'm meddling with the Vogels. So anyway, if they win the Super Bowl, I'm sure they're going to walk in church with their Green Bay Packers shirts on. The Word of God is the only thing I've found to renew my mind. And this is what I wrote down. I think I've got this out of Wiersbe's book. The world always says they want to be free and different. Yet they always imitate one another. How many times have you heard people say, "Well, I just want to be free. I just want to be different. I just want to have fun." They're doing everything that everybody else does. There's nothing new, nothing free. They just imitate others. And so I thought about this. Imitate. Who are you imitating? Who does your life look like? And let me tell you something. There's only one or two people that are going to answer this. There's only one or two ways you're going to answer this question. There is no in between. Your life is either going to be imitating Christ or it's going to be imitating Satan. There's no in between. So you as an individual, sitting here, I'll get my words figured out sometime this morning. Sitting here this morning are imitators of one of two people, Satan or Jesus. You either in 2014 was more imitating of Christ or more imitating of Satan. That's how we should evaluate 2014. When it's all said and done, when we finish this year, and maybe this afternoon you spend some time just thinking over this. Holy Spirit, where was I more like Jesus? Where was I more like following the allurements of this world? Where was it? This morning, also, as we end this time together, I want to stop and say thank you to Jesus. I don't have a whole list of things, but there's a lot of amazing things that we could sit down and write out how God has done some cool things in our family in 2014. But this morning, I'm not going to tell you those things. Because most of the time, what do? We love Jesus because of the things he does for us and not because of who he is. I want you to think about that. Do you love Jesus because he does this for you or because of who he is, what he stands for, what his character quality is, for his willingness to sacrifice for you? Or do you love Jesus because your bank account is in the green and not in the black? I mean, in the black, not in the red. I don't know what's happened to my mind this morning. When is your bank account ever in the green? Gee. Wow. I really hope as a family that you stop and say thank you to Jesus for 2014. And I hope you take some time to renew your mind of the character qualities of Jesus, not just the benefits of Jesus. The benefits are nice, but the character of Jesus is better than the benefits. And if you're sitting here this morning, and 2014 has not been about Jesus, I'm not going to tell you that's okay, but I can tell you this, 2015 is just around the corner. And so as you struggle through the end of the year, all of us are going to struggle. We're all going to be looking for things that accomplish that we've been part of to give ourselves value and success. I don't want that for you. I want you to evaluate 2014 on one word, holiness. And I'm praying for me and for you that in 2015, one of the priorities of your life, will you be say, Jesus, would you make me more like you this year than what I was like you last year? Holy Spirit, what did you empower me to be more like my Father? Holy Spirit, would you give me discernment when the allurements come? They're going to come in 2015. For most of us, it's probably going to look like what it looked like in 2014. We just didn't see it in 2014. But when it comes, the Holy Spirit would empower us and say, you know what? That's not something that's going to honor my Father. That's not something that's going to make my life holy. And we would step back and say, you know what, Dad? I don't want to be interested in that. And if you're here this morning, please don't be offended by my referring to Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit as Dad. But that's all I have on this earth as a dad. And so when I think at him through Scripture, I think at him from that perspective. Because I don't hear from my dad, hey, good job anymore. And that's all right. I understand that. I will get a chance to hug Jesus, and I will get a chance to see my dad again. I'm looking forward to that day. But that's in the weeks, months, years. I don't know. I don't know when I get to see them face to face. I know this. Today's a gift. And I want my gift of this day, I want my life to imitate Jesus and everything that I do. And I want to battle with the help of the Holy Spirit that I have less days of imitating Satan in 2015 than I did in 2014. And that's my prayer for you this morning. Why don't you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for our last Sunday together in 2014. Thank you for the blessings of 2014. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for me in 2014. I don't take that for granted. I don't know all of you sitting in here, but if there's something in your heart, the Holy Spirit's stirring something in your soul, we have some people out the back of the church, second door on the left, called the What's Next Ministry. They'd love to pray with you. If you're here this morning and 2014 was a difficult year for you spiritually, where you struggled to follow Jesus, where you struggled to renew your mind with the Word of God, it's okay, we all struggle. You'd like for somebody to pray with you, they'll be out back, they'll pray with you. They'll ask the Holy Spirit to give you power to follow Jesus in 2015. Father, you know what every single person needs here this morning. I don't. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to each individual heart. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you haven't accepted the free gift of salvation, what a way to begin 2015 is to start today in the first words that you choose to say as you end this year and start the next is, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Jesus, I'm putting my faith, my trust, my belief in you, that you're the one that can pay my sacrifice for my sin. So Lord, if you're here this morning and you're praying that prayer, and you'd like to pray with somebody else, we've got people in the back waiting for you as well. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the gift of 2014. And I pray, Holy Spirit, through your power, through your strength, through your encouragement, through your correction, that you would show us and you would strengthen us and you empower us to be sons and daughters that imitate Jesus more in 2015 than we did in 14. It's your name I pray. Amen.